Blog Talk Radio.
Let us go to
tonight, and let us give God praise, worship, honor that he deserves, and the reverence that he deserves. I know that we have our brother Gus with us from the Bay Area tonight, and I believe he's near a waterfront tonight. I believe he's coming live with us. God bless you, Brother Gus. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good, Brother John, and yes, we're on the waterfront, and the weather's very beautiful here. How's the weather over there?
The weather's very nice, praise God. We're going to have a blessed weekend in the 90s, high 80s, low 90s through the whole weekend.
Wow.
Here.
Okay.
So we're going to have some good weather coming up. And how are things with you tonight, my brother?
Thank God everything is good. The family's good. We just finished up working, me and the boys. We got home, and me and Valerie went out for a cup of coffee. And we're excited to do the radio again with you guys tonight. So we're all ready for that.
Amen. Praise God tonight. Well, Brother Gus, we already prayed for the station tonight to open up the station. We're going to open up also. We'd like to pray for the people. We're going to pray for the people in the hurricane that just went through the hurricane in Florida. It's going up the coast. It's going up the coast down south in South Carolina as we're speaking. And we're going to lift up those people in a minute. But would you share, Brother Gus, what the teaching is going to be on tonight in the next couple of weeks?
God bless you guys. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Apostle Peter. Peter was just an ordinary man like us, and he was a fisherman from Galilee. And we're going to get into detail about that later. And the idea of tonight's teaching is that Peter was he was a very simple man. He was a fisherman, and he was uneducated. The Bible even documents that he was an uneducated man, a Galilean, and he was, an average man that you would pass on the street and wouldn't pay too much attention to. Yet he wrote two Gospels. And the Lord used him in ways for miracles. And the Lord said, upon this rock I will build my church. But at the same time, we have to remember we're going to go back to the beginnings of Peter, that he denied Christ. He said that he never knew him. We're going to go into the scripture, and we'll give you guys scripture and reference where that's at. It's actually in the Gospels. One of them is written in Luke. So tonight, the radio station is going to be 1 hour. We might go over a little bit. We're going to be talking about this Friday night in the whole month of September. God bless you for being with us the month of August, talking about the Holy Spirit. The radio station telephone number to call in is 917-889-7893. Magda, o telefono sa 917-889-7893. We want to thank you guys for continuing to listen. Call someone. There's plenty of time. Give them the number. Text them the number. Let them know the radio station's on. They can call in for prayer. Brother John, Peter is an interesting person in the Bible. We know that Peter wrote his letter about 3 to 4 years A.D., which was after Christ's death. And this was a fisherman. And if the listeners are paying attention or taking notes tonight, this would be very good to write down. A fisherman was not somebody that had maybe a lot of friends. He was always up early, working late. A fisherman is a smelly person because they're always around bait and they're always around fish and they're always on the water. We know that Peter had an attitude. He was an outspoken person. But yet he wrote two letters in the New Testament, 1st and 2nd Peter. And these letters that he wrote, these are very, very good. And we'll get into those next week. Tonight we're going to talk about the man, Peter, and how we could relate. You know, there's a lot of people in the Bible that we could say, well, I don't really connect with that person, or, yeah, I connect a little bit with this woman or with this man. But we're going to see on how we relate here and how we can allow the Lord to use us and bring us out of the storm. Tonight's teaching is called The Lord Brings Us Out of the Storm. And that's exactly what he did, Brother John, with Peter. Now, if you guys pay close attention to the gospel, there's one other man that walked on water besides Amado Cristo. And that's who we're talking about tonight. That was Peter. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you. And the Lord said, come. Now, let's talk about that a little bit, Brother John, on what happened at that time. So the people were on the... You know what, Brother John? Give them the story, and then I'll break it down a little bit on where they were fishing and the storm came and all of that.
Amen. Amen. Well, the story starts out that they were on the boat, Peter and the disciples and Jesus, and there was a storm came out to sea, and all the disciples were frightened, including Peter, and they were worried that they were going to perish. Actually, we'll see that in the scriptures. And as Jesus was sleeping through the storm, they went to Jesus and they said, Lord, in fear, they said, Lord, help us. We're going to perish. And Jesus woke up and said, oh, you men of little faith. And Jesus rebuked the storm, and the storm calmed down. That's one account of the storm.
Yes.
Of the storm at sea. And another time, we're talking about Jesus or Peter walking on water. They were out fishing, and they thought they saw a ghost out at sea, and it was actually Jesus, and Jesus called Peter. Again, they had fear, thinking that he was a ghost. And Jesus called Peter to come out. As they recognized it was the Lord, Peter got out of the boat and walked on water. Then when he looked down, he realized that he was walking on water, and fear set in, and he looked down at his circumstance. He looked down that he was walking on water, and he fell into the water. And he was screaming for help, took him by the hand, and pulled him out of the water. The same person, as we look at that scripture, the same person that walked on water, the only other person that ever walked on water was Jesus himself. And here was a mere man who walked on water. When he saw his circumstance, he fell and was drowned. That sounds a lot like us. You know what? We go to church, Brother Gus.
Yes.
We go to church or a revival, something that's really uplifting, a pastor that's really, or evangelist that's really preaching up the storm on faith. And our faith is so great that Sunday night when we leave that church that we can move mountains and we can almost walk on water. And come Monday, when the mailman comes and our bills are in the mail, we look at that circumstance and we say, how am I going to get out of this problem? How am I going to pay these bills? Or someone's in the hospital, or not feeling well, and we say we need the best doctor. We got to find the best hospital. And instead of getting on our knees and saying, Lord, heal. I know that you're the healer. I know that you're the great physician. And we look at the circumstance or the symptom, or we feel the symptom in our own body. We might not be feeling well that day. We might have something that's bothering us. It might be in our mind and our spirit, but we're not looking to the Lord for the solution. It might be a problem in our family life, or through with a friend or a relative, and we're looking at that circumstance instead of looking at the Lord for the solution.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we'll go to the text, and if you are following, we'll give you guys a few minutes. It's Matthew 14:22. I think it's up to verse 33 or something like that. And we'll read the story, and it's in another account of the Gospels as well, but we're going to be reading from Matthew 14. And before we get there, I'll give you guys a chance to go there. What Brother John was saying is instead of getting on our knees and praying, we worry. And you know what? That's normal. That just makes you normal like everybody else because we fear. That's why the Lord says, do not fear, because he knows we fear. I said, I'm in God and worries and anxiety. But let me share something with you guys right now. Let me let you guys know that the biggest battles are won on your knees and not running away from the problem, but running to the problem. Now, we remember what David did. He didn't run away from Goliath. He ran to Goliath, okay? But David was a man of prayer. We know that. He wrote the Psalms and their prayers. So the biggest battles are won on our knees, praying to God in that secret place where you can go and seek the Lord face to face. Problem, not worrying about your problem. Because that only creates anxiety and stress and worries. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, this man Peter. And look what it says in verse 22 of chapter 14. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. So he was preaching. He said, you guys, Janpo Pampuri, go across. And he sent the crowds to go off, verse 23. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself praying. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. Okay. Now, as we continue, I'm going to pick up from verse 26. You see, the sea and the wind, from whatever's going on, whether it be financial or whether it be stress or problems at work or what have you, okay? And that represents the worries of the world, okay? And we're going to see how Christ comes in. Verse 26, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Verse 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Verse 28. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came to Jesus. Now, keep this in mind that they're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Okay. And the waves are bad. I mean, if they wasn't, they would have just jumped out of the boat and got close to, they would have walked to dry land. But they're far. They have no choice but to stay in the boat. And it says the apostles were in the boat. Now, look, the other ones could have said, Lord, call us too. But who walked on water? Peter, because Peter said, Lord, call me. So if you're listening tonight, the Lord is calling you out of the storm. Just as Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out.
Amen.
And who came out, Brother John? Peter.
Peter.
Now, remember it. This was a man that denied Christ. This was a man that is just a fisherman. This is just an ordinary man. He's not a prophet. He's not done miracles. He's just a fisherman. So I could relate to that. I'm an ordinary man. I have fears. I have worries. But I can say, Lord, bring me out of the storm. Now, Jesus was walking on water. That represents Jesus above our problems. His feet are above our problems. And he's walking above all the problems. And he calls you out of those problems to walk on top of them. Now, we may pray and open our eyes, and the problem still may be there. But if you trust in the Lord, then he will bring them to whatever it is that you're worried about. He'll bring it to an end. If you have a marriage problem, if you have problems with your children, let's face it, we all have those problems. They're normal. Bad. I mean, they're just hard to deal with, but they're normal. And that's what God does. He's in the business of restoring. Now, he knew this was coming. It's not like, oh, my goodness, wow, where did I send him? He knew this was coming. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. This was for their faith. This was to grow them in Christ. And Peter got it. Peter got it. He didn't get too scared to say, you know what, that might be God, but I'm not going out there. Well, let me tell you guys tonight, God is calling you out to walk over your storm, whatever it may be. There's nasvalimos, hori, anger, bitterness, you name it. You can call any one of those things a storm. Are they knocking you down? Are they beating you? Are they keeping you away from a relationship with Jesus Christ? That's what we want to share about tonight. Anything that's keeping you away from the cross, from going to God and repenting and asking the Lord for forgiveness and say, Lord, I receive you. I want you to be my Savior. He said, Lord, command me. So you know what? He was being obedient as a servant and letting the Lord be the Lord over him. He didn't say, well, let me touch the water. Let me see. He didn't want to test the waters. This was Peter. This was the type of man he was. He was the one that grabbed the sword and cut off the high priest's ear, Malchus. And the Lord said, no, all who take up the sword will die by the sword. This was Peter. A wild guy, ready to fight. But the Lord says, come on, Peter. Come away from that. Come walk to me. And the water calmed. Now, there were other apostles. They could have walked on water. Peter, John, James, all of them. They all could have had this account saying, yes, we walked with the Lord on water, but only Peter. Because Peter was being obedient. Peter was accepting, yes, that's the Lord. And I'm going to walk over this storm to him. Because that's how you get to Christ. You just let him call you out. And today, if you hear his voice, the scripture says, he's calling you. He's not too far off. Brother John, go ahead. I'm going to
read the scripture. You know what's a key scripture to this chapter is in Matthew 14, we go to the end of verse 30. And as Jesus was, as Peter was sinking, and he saw the winds was blustering, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand to catch him. He said, Lord, save me. You know, the Lord hears our every prayer. When we say, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. He pulls us out. He might chastise us. He might give us a word of wisdom and say, you know, why did you doubt me? Why are you doubting me? The Holy Spirit will speak. God is always there. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
And I just want to talk a little bit about Peter for a minute here. You know,
yeah,
Peter sounds a lot like us here.
I could relate.
Or we sound a lot like Peter here.
Yeah.
It was Peter. It was Peter in Matthew 16 who suggested that he build three tabernacles to honor Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, and
that's
then
right.
fell to the ground in fear at God's glory. You see, Peter was sincere in his heart. He was sincere, but at times he was sincerely wrong. He meant
yes.
well. A lot of times we mean well and say, Lord, I messed up. I meant well. We might say something to someone that might hurt their feelings or did something to hurt someone's feeling, not intentionally. We meant well, but we were wrong. And that's how we are. Peter, as you see, is just a man. He, like Brother Gus shared, he was a fisherman who had a successful fishing business. But he was one of the first ones called by God. See, God can use the ordinary to do the extraordinary. He calls out normal people like Peter, you, and me out there. So I just want to share that God's hand is not too short to stretch out. The Bible tells us that. His arm is not too short to stretch out and save us. Amen. God bless you, Brother.
Amen.
Continue.
God bless you, Brother John. Good word from Brother John. If you guys go to Luke 22:56, we'll give you guys some time because we want a Bible study all together here with the listeners, Gaisan de Tema, de Rome, Ilegage. It's called Gypsies for Jesus Faith Radio, but all are welcome. So please call in if you guys have any questions. There's still plenty of time. If you have a testimony, God's done something great in your life, call in and encourage the listeners. 256. Now, again, this is Peter. We're going to be focusing the whole month on Peter. There's a lot could be learned from this man because he did right and he did wrong. He did right and he did wrong. Does it sound like anybody? That's all of us. We do right and we do wrong,
yeah.
right? So listen to Luke 22:56. Lisa Pinnell. Now, this is just to give you guys a little context of what we're reading from. It's about the time after Jesus was being crucified. They took him to be crucified, and they're recognizing Peter. He kind of went off in the distance, and they recognize him. So that's what's going on here. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him," meaning Jesus. But he denied it. That's the key word here. He denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." That's once. Remember, Jesus says, "You will deny me three times." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them," meaning the apostles, the ones that followed Jesus. But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about 1 hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean." Now, Galilean were fishermen by trade. But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately while he was speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny him three times." Now, listeners, students of the word, listen up. This was all within 1 hour. Because later on it says, in an interval of about an hour, another one said. So this happened all within 1 hour, not days apart, not 2-3 weeks later. In 1 hour, he denied him three times. Now, let's remember, this is the man that said, "Lord, I will follow you even if everybody else leaves you." And then he denies him three times in 1 hour. You know, we may not say, "Lord, well, I deny you." Of course, no, not like that. But to bring it into, you know, t- today's time, 2016, the Lord might call us to go to a certain town, and we might not want to go there. That's denying Christ. Simply. I mean, there's no two ways about it. If the Lord calls you one place or calls me one place and we don't go, that's denying Christ. Okay? If the Lord says, well, I want you to go and forgive your brother, and you don't, that's denying Christ. Just giving some ideas of denying. Okay? Another idea would be if you argued with your wife and the Lord is telling you, go and tell her you're sorry. And the Holy Spirit's just, you know, it's just tugging at your heart. It's just little things like that, you know, because I just don't want you out there thinking, well, that was Peter, and that was back then, and that can't happen today. Yes, it can happen today, and it does happen today. So we want to confess Christ, confess that he's Lord, that he's Savior, and that he came and he died on a cross. And what's even more, he rose 3 days later, sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and for me when we pray. That's Luke 22:56. Go ahead, you want to open that discussion a little bit?
Amen. You know, a lot of times, like Brother Gus said, we deny the Lord without even knowing it. I remember in my younger days being a Christian, and it's my opportunities to share the Lord with non-believers, and at times I just kept my mouth shut. It's a way of denial. And people would ask me, I saw you, wasn't you at the preaching at the jail?
There you go.
Last year? Okay. And we sit there sometimes and just keep our mouth shut or say, well, yeah, it's because of the circumstance of our life. We think that people are going to look at us in a different way. But, you know, the thing is that we need to be bold in the Word of God and never deny the Lord and stand up for what's right. You know, today we have a lot of laws that are being passed by non-believers.
Mm.
If you look at it today, if you look at it today, the gender to the restrooms in the United States, where a man can walk into the ladies' room, a woman can walk into the men's room, it's all done by a minority and of less than 2%. I know there's a lot more Christians than 2% in the United States. I know that it's a high number, maybe 35 or 40% are believers, and we don't stand up for righteousness, but we keep our mouth shut. It's time for us to stop denying and start speaking the truth and letting everybody know how we feel. And like I said here, you know, it's by keeping our mouth shut, we are actually saying it's okay. You know, if your child, Brother Gus, if one of your sons does something wrong and you keep your mouth shut, what's he going to do? He's going to continue to do wrong, correct?
Sure.
Unless we correct him and tell him, hey, what you're doing is not right. I don't like the way you're talking to your mother. I don't like the way you're talking to your brothers or treating your brothers or the way you're doing things. They're going to continue to do it unless we correct them. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
Our guide is the Holy Bible, the Word of God, and that's what corrects us. It keeps us in doing truth and standing up for the truth. And we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We need to speak the truth. We need to do the truth and act the truth instead of keeping our mouth shut and being in denial. Amen?
Amen. See, Peter, to me, seems like one day he had 2 feet in and he was ready to go and he was walking on the water. And then the next day he wasn't sure about it. You know, he's denying Jesus, And then one day he's all in, he's cutting off the soldier's ear. And, you know, that could be me some days. I'm in with 2 feet, and I feel full of the Holy Spirit, and I feel like, you know, Lord, just call me on to the water because I feel like I could walk on it today. And the next day I'm worried, and I'm scared, and I'm nervous, and I have all this anxiety. And the Lord is calling us from that place, John, to a place where the waters are calm. He says, he lays me down beside calm waters. He restores my soul. You know, that's a beautiful psalm. And that's where the Lord ultimately wants us to be, you know, by running water, a tree firmly planted, and that represents your roots going down in Christ, the true foundation. It's all about. And David knew that.
Amen.
David wrote that. And David was a man also. He had worries and he had fears, and there was a lot of people after him. He was a man of war. So he knew a lot of anxieties that we'll never, you know, go through. But yet he wrote all these beautiful prayers because the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. That's what we need to be, men and women after God's own heart. And what does that mean? You're seeking, like Brother John said, righteousness, peace. You know, these are fruits of the Holy Spirit. And the fruits of the Holy Spirit is in Galatians 5:22 says peace, joy, love, patience, long-suffering, self-control. Against such things there is no law. There's no law against doing righteous. And that's what we need to seek. We need to continue to seek the Lord. Now, when his eyes went upon the Lord, he was upon the storm. And then, like Brother John shared, when his eyes went off the Lord, like we do today, we sink or we're falling back into the problem deeper than where we started. But the whole idea is to gaze upon the Lord, meaning to have your eyes fixed on him continually, whether things are going good or bad. And then the Lord will just continue to use that situation to build your faith, to make you a great man or woman of God. And I said it from the beginning, and I'll say it again now, and hopefully this time it'll sink in. Peter wrote two apostles. He wrote two letters. And if it was not for him continuing to seek the Lord, he would not wrote these letters. Because he let the Lord use him. Let the Lord use you today.
That's right.
Now look at the same. Amen, Brother John?
Amen.
Look what it says here in Matthew 16:13. Okay? Now this was the man that cut off the ear of the high priest Malchus. This was the man that took his eyes off Jesus, started to sing. This was the man that denied Jesus 3 times in 1 hour. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, his disciples, who do you say that the Son of Man is? Speaking of himself, okay? Verse 14. And they said, some say John, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but gontenan dumen gemesum. In other words, I know what the other people are saying, and he already knows the answers, but he's trying to draw them to know him. He already knows. These are rhetorical questions, meaning Jesus already knows what people are saying about him, and he already knows the answers. To hear it as a confession out of their mouth. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter, now here we go, this is Peter, replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the correct answer, my friends. It's not what other people say who Christ is. It's who you confess him to be in your life. And Peter said it right. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's a big revelation here. Let the Lord, I pray, open up your hearts and your minds to receive his word. And Jesus answered him. Now look what the correct answer got him. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. But the Holy Spirit just revealed something to me as I was reading that to you. In other words, another man didn't tell you about me. You realized it by fixing your eyes on me, who I am. Panav Magdata. O Cristo penda for Peter. Chi penda tuka kavejeno woso Cristo. Chi penda tuka prophet. Chi penda tuka chi dikana no suno. This is what Jesus says. I tell you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now look, we pray this prayer a lot of times. Whatever, Lord, you say, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. This is where this came from, the Lord speaking to Peter. Because you confess that I'm the Son of the living God and the Christ, whatever you bind on heaven will be bound on earth. In other words, what he's telling Peter, what you believe in the will of God, obviously, whenever the Lord speaks of a promise, it has to be in the will of God. What you believe in heaven will happen for you on earth. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever means all, okay? It doesn't exclude certain things. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loosen on earth shall be loosened in heaven. That's a beautiful blessing. That's a beautiful word. I mean, it's just all-encompassing. You imagine standing there with Christ and you're Peter and he's telling you these things. Well, let me tell you guys something. Christ is telling you these things. Brother John, you want to share on that a little bit? I have a little bit more to share a little bit later.
Yes, amen. You know, take your time, Brother Gus. Good word. And I want to share with the listeners also, you know, Brother Gus and I talked about a little bit about this verse he just shared about Jesus says, upon this rock I shall build my church. You know, Jesus promised Peter that he would be the fundamental, in the building of the church. Okay, the church is not built on Peter, but he's part of building the church, and he was a big part of building the church, and he fulfilled three stages. Okay, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. As remember, the Book of Acts, chapter 2.
That's right.
3,000 were saved that day.
That's right.
3,000 were saved that day, and then he was present when the Samaritans received the Holy Spirit in the Book of Acts, chapter 8. Peter was there when the Samaritans received the Holy Spirit, and he was summoned to the house of the Roman centurion of Cornelius.
Cornelius,
and,
that's right.
Yeah, and who also believed, and they received the Holy Spirit, him and his whole entire family. That's Acts chapter 8. So as we see here, God used Peter in a mighty, God used Peter in a mighty way, even though all the shortcomings that Peter had, as we could see, something happened to Peter though on the day of Pentecost. He was filled in the upper room along with 120 others. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. After that, Peter became a changed person. Peter spoke boldly on that same day, on the day of Pentecost. He's the first one to stand up and said, these men are not drunk as you think they are. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, but they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And And as we see, Peter healed the sick. He raised the dead. So God used that ordinary person with all his shortcomings in a mighty, mighty way. As we know, Peter, as Brother Gus shared, wrote two epistles in the Bible. Peter was a close friend of Jesus. Jesus loved him. And Jesus used him mightily. Amen.
Amen. Now, all of that being said, and the Lord saying, you know, he didn't tell anybody else I was going to build my church upon this rock. He told Peter that. Now, let's go back to the beginnings here. This was a fisherman from a small town, Galilee, an ordinary Jew. He didn't have great talents. A fisherman wasn't, it's not like fishing today out in the Florida Keys or in Mexico where the water's clear. I mean, you see there was a storm. So, you know, it wasn't that they had calm, cool sailing all the time. It wasn't the greatest trait. They just did what they had to do to make money for whatever that is. But here's the point. The point is, he was a regular man. So that's who we are today. Aren't we just ordinary men? So God can use you. He can use me. Brother John, the listeners that are out there, whether they're listening on radio or if you're tuning in to Blog Talk Radio on the internet, God can use you. Let him use you. But in order for him to use you, you need to be obedient. Lord, use me. You're the Christ, the true Son of God, who came and bare the sins of the world upon your shoulders, on that cross, more importantly, was then, 3 days later, Peter was getting there, but Peter thought that he had to help Jesus along the way. He was fighting it, but the Lord still used all that. He didn't, you know what? He never said to him, you know what, Peter, you're just too much of a troublemaker. I can't use you. You're taking people's ears off. You're trying to walk on water, but you ain't got it right. You know, it's okay. It's okay if we sink once in a while, because you know what? That means we're walking towards Christ, and the Lord's always there to bring us up. But we don't want to sink without the Lord's hand. We don't want to sink, because we don't want to keep going down. It doesn't say, well, Peter walked on water and began to sink and kept sinking. No, the scripture doesn't say that. The Lord called him out and brought him out. And that storm that he was in, he was walking on. So tonight, you can walk over your storms. And from tonight on, whatever that storm may be, let's call that storm an argument you had with your friend, somebody at work, your father-in-law, mother-in-law, wife, kids, whatever. Storms come in many different ways, my friends. I have my storms. I go through my storms. Lord, help me. I fell again. I sunk again. And you know what? He's there. He's always there to pull us out. God bless you. Tonight, we were just kind of giving you the background of Peter. We didn't want to get into too many different things that he did without telling you guys the type of man that he was. So that way we could relate to see that he was an ordinary. We're going to be talking next week about the different miracles like Brother John was talking about. We're going to see how this man's faith grew. We're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon him. And like John said, he prophesied and he was in jail and they sang songs and the chains just fell off. And that's going to be another great teaching. God bless you guys, Brother John.
Amen. Amen. Good words tonight, Brother Gus. God bless you. You know,
God bless you.
Brother Gus, I just want to just share something real quick before we go to the last part of the show tonight. You know, it shows us that Jesus teaches us very patiently. He was very patient with Peter. Over and over again, Peter needed correction, and the Lord was firm in loving Peter. And the Bible tells us, I will instruct you. Psalms 32, verse 8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And when he first met Peter was very reckless. He was a reckless fisherman called Simon Peter. And he became a faithful servant of the Lord. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion.
To completion. Amen.
Amen. So the Lord is very patient with us, and he wants to see that completed work in us. It's not telling us, oh, you know what, I'm just the way I am, and the Lord's patient, and I'm just going to say, no, we need to get into the Word. We need to live the Word. We need to be obedient to God's Word. And God will then see the completion, the complete work. Amen. And
yep.
I just want to say a very, very blessed word. I really did enjoy this tonight. Such a blessing,
Lord,
Brother Gus. It's always a blessing to have you. And I'd like to speak to the listeners tonight. If there's someone out there who's never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, maybe you're living that reckless life that Peter once did, or all of us once did, and living out there in the world, and you just have no hope, you don't have no direction, you know you need something, but whatever you're seeking out there, you just can't find true peace, true joy, and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired out there tonight. If you feel that way tonight, well, there we have the answer for you. His name is Jesus. He died 2,016 years ago for you, for me, that you might have the abundant life. Tonight, if you need that peace, that joy, you could have it by faith in God, by believing that he's alive, that he was crucified, and that he rose on the third day. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that you shall be saved. So tonight, I'm going to turn it over to Brother Gus to say the prayer. Say this with all your heart tonight, believing and mean it in your heart tonight, and God will give you eternal life.
Yeah.
And give you the abundant life. Amen. God bless you, Brother Gus.
God bless you. I'll say this slow, and we can say it together, listeners, if you want to receive the Lord. Father God, I admit that I'm a sinner, and I'm in need of your forgiveness. I believe that you are the Christ who died for me, paying for my penalty on the cross. Just as Peter said, you are the Christ. I turn from my sins and I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. I commit myself to you and ask that you send the Holy Spirit into my life, take control, and make me the man, the woman, the child that you want me to be. I love you, Father, and I accept your Holy Spirit right now. We're going to say this again on the Romanes. Cristo, bachav ko tu sano shavle devlesko, amesem bezchalo. Bachav ko tu mulan palamani, dietiz mga bezcha. Devla, rade cho duho, detrayela ne mandi, chima aftela bezchalo. In Jesus' name. It's a simple
Amen.
Prayer of faith, just believing in Christ. God bless you. Brother John?
Amen. God bless you too. God bless the listeners out there. And tonight, if you're listening by telephone tonight, you could hit 1 on your keypad if you have a question, a comment, or a prayer request. Or if you're listening by radio tonight, by the internet, by Facebook or Blog Talk Radio, you can call in 917-889-7893. If you can't call in, if you're overseas, you could email us, gypsyradio1@yahoo.com. That's gypsyradio1@yahoo.com. And you could send us a prayer request or a question or a comment. Let us know you're listening out there tonight. I want to say, Brother Gus, it's a blessing. I want to make an announcement that this month, at the middle of this month, we will be known as Gypsy Faith Radio. Gypsies for Jesus is still a ministry. It's still out there, but the radio station will be called Gypsy Faith Radio. So look for that page coming up in the next couple of weeks on Facebook. And that way we'll have the information on that page. We'll have prayer requests up there. And we'll do a lot of things with Facebook. So I just want to let the listeners know it'll be called Gypsy Faith Radio. Amen. So I want to thank the listeners tonight for listening. Join us next Friday night, 11 o'clock East Coast time in the United States, 11 o'clock New York time, 10 o'clock Central time, and 8 o'clock California time on the West Coast. And we want to say a prayer too for the people in the path of the hurricane, the tropical storm on the East Coast. Let's pray for them tonight, Brother Gus. Let's agree. Father God, we pray for each and every person such as along the Devil, where the storm is going, Devil, we ask a little bit that you calm the storm, Father God, that you keep people safe tonight, Devil, and through the weekend, Father God, in Jesus' name, Father God. Watch over them, put peace upon them, Father God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
we thank you for your hedge of protection. Devil, if this hurricane goes out in the sea, Devil, and keeps everyone safe, even in the sea, Devil, the ships, Devil, that they stay clear from the hurricane, Devil, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, and we give you praise, honor, and glory. And we also, Father God, lift up the people who are traveling this weekend, Dewa, on Labor Day. Watch over them, Dewa. May they have a joyous time with their families, their friends, Dewa, whatever they're doing, Dewa. In the name of Jesus, take them there and bring them home safely, Father God. A hedge of protection on each and every person in Jesus' name. Family mercies. And we thank you, Father God, and we say amen and amen.
Amen.
Father Gus, it was a blessed night, blessed word.
God bless you.
I want to thank you again. And thank the listeners tonight. God bless you. Have a blessed Labor Day weekend. Good night. God bless you. Until next Friday night, 11 p.m. Good night. God bless you.